I ain't trying to play for no stats. I'm trying to go win this game, boy. I'm trying to go win this game. Stats don't mean nothing. I'm from a place where if you get stats and you lose, that shit's pointless.
Of course.
I don't go home and get love for the stats.
I gotta ask you a question, bro. And you could, if you don't want to comment on it, that's fine.
Come on.
What do you think about Russell Westbrook?
He definitely gets stats. He chasing stats. But I think he's a hell of a player, though. Man, I don't care what anyone says. You know how hard it is to get a triple-double?
It is hard.
You know how hard it is to get triple-double? And he played hella hard.
I know, bro, but...
I just think that sometimes he plays too quick.
That was Karl Anthony Towns talking about Russell Westbrook. As the clip went viral, Draymond Green promptly posted this quote under the video. I once watched from the bench due to us beating the Wolves' ass, and Cat was in the game down 20 with 2 minutes to go. Come on, man. Stop talking to people about bros and yelling that this is a brotherhood. Shake my head. So Draymond quickly clapped and ethered Cat's take on stat padding. Is it me or does Karl Anthony Towns sound different? All of a sudden, he sounds like he's trying to be someone he's not. It's strange, man. I kind of feel bad for the kid. But look, he isn't saying anything we don't already know about Russ, right? Like, did you hear Westbrook's quotes from the other night after another loss for the Lakers?
The conversation's been heavily on how I'm playing and what I'm doing, but I think people are expecting me to have fucking 25, 15, and 15, which that is not normal. You know, everybody has to understand, like, that's not like a normal thing that people do consistently. I know I've done it for the past 5 years or so, whatever that may be, but it's not like a normal thing. So when people are saying Russ be Russ, I don't really think nobody understands what that means. I think people just say it and just be like, let's Russ be Russ, but nobody actually knows what that means but myself. And I'm gonna lean on that and make sure I do what I'm supposed to do and let everything else outside of the locker room, whatever that may be, take care of itself.
He's talking about stats again. Never mind like what he can do, rotate better, communicate on defense, get guys the ball in better spots. No, he's talking about his stats again. So yeah, Cat ain't wrong. This is December 29th, Wednesday, episode 147 of the Hezzy, brought to you by basketballgods.net. I got one more quick soundbite for you I thought was interesting. This is Mellow Ball.
You're always, it's like you're ambidextrous. You can always use both hands. How did that kind of come to be where you're so fluid with both hands and probably just as good with your left?
Yeah, pretty much because like me and my middle brother, Angelo, we was both born left-handed. And then our pops changed us. Because when we eat at the table, like Lonzo and my pops is right-handed. So me and Angelo was hitting them. So he just changed all of us. So we all right.
Wait, hold on.
I'll go back to left now. Like right when I left the house and everything, I did everything I do with my left.
That's got to help you though, right? The way you play,
for sure. Using both like hands. It, yeah.
Look, my question is, what size table LeVar had them eating at? Right? Big Baller had them eating like peasants, where they had to... That's a crazy story, man, but it's crazy, but I believe it, right? Knowing what we know from LeVar, I believe it. Now, Melo, start drawing contact, baby. I had some Charlotte fans getting on me talking about I'm a casual. I don't watch LaMelo Ball. He's not physical. I watch him a couple times a week. He fades away from the contact. Now, every now and then, he'll slam into, like, you know, it's not his choice. He ends up going body to body with someone, and he'll try to punch if he can get all the way across to the right hand. But most of the time, he leans, fades, and scoops away. So I just think that that's the next step for LaMelo. He definitely does use both hands. He doesn't initiate contact enough for my taste downhill. Have you seen this Dominican kid, Hansel Emmanuel, with one arm? He is amazing. I know you've seen the viral clips. However, I don't know about you. I'm sitting on that right hand. I'm sitting on that right hand, man. You watch him geek defenders and shift them left, and guess where he's going? Back to the right hand. No, but I guess apparently he has a D1 offer to Tennessee State. He's nice, man. He has a really nice feel. It's very inspiring. He lost his arm as a kid. He fell off a wall back in the Dominican Republic. That's different, right? Because usually when someone loses the limb it's different as opposed to being born that way, where they're much like seem to be more accepting of it. But go check him out, Hansel Emmanuel. You can catch him all over YouTube, and the one arm sensation, man. It's really spectacular. He's got bounce, he's got good feel. Before we get into the games, one more bit of news that I know all of you have heard now is the COVID protocol has dropped to 6 days. Then I heard five, right? I heard six, 5 days. It's one of those. And it's clear the NBA must have known for a while that this was happening. And that's why they pushed through, I think. I think if it stayed at the 12 to 14 days, it was going to be a daunting task to keep the league operating. But 5-6 days, they were just sitting and waiting on it. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I myself just got over it. It took about 5 days. This variant is headed towards herd immunity, from my understanding. All right, let's get into some of these games here. Bad loss Monday for the Boston Celtics, man. Bad loss. Minnesota beat Boston without four of their five starters. Jason Tatum was out as well, but they basically got beat by a team of dudes that the Wolves have just called up from the G League. And post-game, there's more kind of talking in code from the Celtics locker room. But the story was, remember Greg Monroe? Minnesota picks him up, and he goes for 11-9-6. That's what he did at Georgetown, right? And in Detroit, those first few years in the league, I specifically remember Greg Monroe because I watched him, I tracked him, because remember the Warriors whiffed hard that year with Epe Udo at the number six pick. So Udo went number six because the Warriors liked his suit, and he was such a kind young man. Number seven went Monroe. Eighth was Gordon Hayward, and then ninth was Paul George. So yeah. yeah. But anyway, you know, I think Greg Monroe, he really just entered the league at the wrong time. He entered the league at the beginning of the three ball era and the small ball era. If he had come out 5-6 years earlier, I think he would have been the star that some people thought he would have been, because he's kind of a traditional big. He passes and shoot. He's got some Jokic to his game, but you know, he didn't have the foot speed mobility to get out on the perimeter and deal with the small ball and speed of today's game. But we'll see if he sticks. I mean, that's an impressive performance. I don't see why he couldn't be your third or fourth big if you've got a roster spot. Suns, Memphis, also Monday night. No DeAndre Ayton, no Jay Crowder, the casualties of war Christmas Day. So they entered COVID protocol, I guess probably from Draymond or vice versa, right? But look, Memphis, no Dylan Brooks, no DeAnthony Melton. I mean, those are two key cogs for Memphis as well. What you see with the Grizzlies is most of the time they've got a size advantage. They're just a big lineup. Jaren Jackson Jr., Tillman off the bench, Steven Adams, obviously. And you saw JaVale McGee trying to fill in for eight, and he gets in foul trouble. I guess the silver lining for the Suns was, how about sticks? Jalen Smith, who by all accounts appears to be a bust, right, out of Maryland. The guy they took instead of Tyrese Halliburton is what he's going to be known as. He goes for 15-9. He hit a couple threes. I guess he's supposed to be a stretch big. You can tell he just lacks confidence. See, he may have a skill set, but I don't know if we'll ever see it, though. But believe it or not, I heard some teams were actually sniffing around him. And then you saw Desmond Bane, a.k.a. the light-skinned Ben Gordon, go off with the career high. Right? Is he not Ben Gordon? He's the light-skinned Ben Gordon, a small, muscular frame, nasty high jumper. And again, he had a career night. Watching Jaw the last week, saw him against Golden State and then again against Phoenix, you just see how physically gifted and special he is, because the other night against the Warriors, he was the first guy I've seen able to just go by GP2. He was just going by him at will, right? And then again against Phoenix, he lit bridges up. And Mikal was trying to gap him and use his length, but he was letting him take that set three. What I've noticed is with Ja, you got to, if for the three balls, you got to make him shoot it off the bounce and kind of on the move. If you let him like set his feet, take a rhythm dribble, check the wind and kind of dare him, he'll knock those down. And he was doing that against Phoenix. And then he's getting in the paint and just toying with them. He's a nightmare. Phoenix getting smashed, though, battles back in the second half. And in the fourth quarter, you saw Memphis go on one of those scoring droughts. And that's kind of what happens with them. You wonder if they can add another score. They have so much depth throughout the roster. They have the flexibility to make a move. I would circle Brandon Clark out of Gonzaga. I like him. I think he's cool. He doesn't play that much because, again, they like Tillman and, you know, slow-mo's in there. He's just kind of the odd man out. He has DNPs, and I think he would have some value around the league as a modern big. I don't know about that corner three they let him shoot, but I would be curious to see if Memphis could maybe move him for another shooter to try to alleviate some of these long scoring droughts that seems to be really one of their only weaknesses. So the game gets tight late, and you saw Ja with an and-one finish late, and he carried the ball. You know, he's coming off a screen, and he carries the ball, and then he gets a floater off, a contact and one, right? And it reminds me so much of Steve Nash. It's hilarious because Eddie Johnson in the telecast was complaining, but Steve Nash in his heyday, Phil Jackson, when he was the Lakers coach, he used to complain every game those guys would match up because Nash would do it with a high pocket dribble coming off the screen to freeze the defense. It was the same concept. He just did it in a different way. He would pocket it high and kind of hang and hesitate, and it would cause this delay or this pause with the pick and roll defender, and then he would keep going. It was devastating. And Ja does it with an in and out and kind of like a snake dribble, but he carries it and suspends it, and it allows him to kind of make the defender commit before he attacks. Both of them are carries. They both get away with it, and it's just a devastating move. So he gets the and one. And then Book, I had just talked about him taking more threes. He hit three of them in the game, including what would have been the game winner. On the play, you saw Desmond Bain, who was guarding Booker. He started to drop as if he was going to go take the midi. He didn't fully come out to the three ball and close out because, again, defenses know that Booker doesn't shoot a whole lot of them. And Book just took a little hesitation dribble and popped the three. So I think more of that for Booker moving forward. He's going to figure out that's going to open up the rest of his game. And then Ja finishes it with a hanging layup. CP fucked up the coverage, right? There was kind of a handoff sequence between him and Bridges. And CP, he didn't switch, but he stopped and tried to dig at Ja as he was crossing past him. And really what it did was it screened Bridges for a split second. Ja hit the seam. Hit one of those floating funky layups. Ja is another. I was just talking about hover bounce. Ja is a guy with hover bounce, right? He elevates. He just seems he's in the air for longer than everybody else. It doesn't have to be high. He can just kind of float. He hangs, leans, contorts his body, and he has probably the most dynamic finishes in the league when you want to talk about angles. He doesn't play the glass like Kyrie and some of these other guys, right? But just as far as the different angles that he can get shots off in the paint, probably tops in the league. Game winner in Phoenix. And the thing I like about Ja so much is clearly he has the clutch gene, right? We've already seen that in his young career. But what I like so much is that he plays to his strengths, and he doesn't settle for the jumper late, right? And that's in part because he isn't good enough of a shooter. Maybe once he becomes a better shooter, he'll look for more of that late. But I like that you know he's going to put his head down and try to get in and create something. You don't see that a lot with young guys. And so, yeah, that's a big win for Memphis on the back end of a back-to-back on the road in Phoenix. I don't know. Maybe the Warriors have knocked the aura off of this Suns team. Nah, man. I mean, obviously they're missing two starters. And Memphis is tough, man. Memphis is tough. I will say this about that Suns performance. Mikal Bridges, 5 shots. You've got no Ayton, no Crowder, and Bridges takes 5 shots? That's kind of strange. You got to change that. Clippers have lost 5 of 6. Paul George, right elbow surgery, is out for at least a month. They lose to the Nets Monday night. James Harden, 39-15-8. That's 2 games in a row now, right? He had the big game against the Lakers. And they've just now announced that Durant, Aldridge, and Kyrie are back from protocol. And this 2-3 game absence, well, it was 2 games for Harden, right? It kind of allowed him to cook. It allowed him to kind of get in the kitchen and do what he does and make him feel right. So Brooklyn, can we call it full strength? I don't know, you know, Kyrie on the road, but I'm very curious to see what happens with this. They're already sitting pretty in first place. It ain't gonna hurt adding Uncle Drew, right? The Blazers, also Monday night, smoked by the Mavericks. Kristaps Porzingis, 34-9-5. Brandon Knight, another former NBA guy, getting called up in these protocol times. He actually looked like he could stick, right? He looks like an NBA player, still moving well. I don't know if he could do it in Dallas. You got Brunson and Burke. You know, they've got all the already little guards there, but maybe somewhere else. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, man, listen, the Blazers, they've lost 12 of their last 15 games. They're 13-20. It's over. It's over for them. Trade Dame now. I'm tired of talking about it. All right, moving into last night's games. Lakers, Rockets. Looking at this Lakers team. This is a serious question for y'all. If we're going to rank the hairlines of teams, does having solid hairlines cancel out bad ones? Right? Because you look at the Lakers squad, you know, you got Horton Tucker, Bradley shit. Bradley clearly lines himself up. Braun, right? And you know, they're pretty weak with the hairlines. But then you got Russ and Rondo and Melo. They shit ain't move. So do Russ and Rondo, does that cancel out the other dudes with the... I'm being silly. I guess LeBron, technically his hairline is fine, right? It's the roof gone. And that's ultimately probably what's got him holding on, right? Like, and when Bron gets up in the morning and he looks in the mirror, if he tilts his head up, his shit looks crispy, right? He just got to tilt the chin up. So I get it. He, you know, 6'10". He ain't worried about the roof gone. I'm being silly here, man. But you saw, you call it a revenge game? Avery Bradley got going there in the third quarter. I was tuning in for Jalen Green. He's back from missing a month with the hamstring. And it looks like he's recalibrating his shot selection a bit, which is a very good thing because that's why he was just having a really rough time to start this season was his shot selection. And he's looking to do a lot more attacking downhill, as he should. But I'll say this. Look, I've been around way too long to write off a 19-year-old. And I see the touch. There is definitely an it factor with Jalen Green. But out of all the top picks right now, I'd be most concerned about Jalen Green. So we're talking Cade, Mobley, Barnes, Giddy, Kuminga, right? The top 7-8 guys in the draft. His body, he's not that big. I get he's super bouncy athlete. I'm not so sure how much he's going to fill out. And it's not like he's like 6'7", 6'8", super long where he can be kind of weaker. We'll see. Again, I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying I said what I said. But watching this Rockets team defensively, it's interesting. They stop playing, right? They have a lot of miscommunications and mistakes. And anytime one is made or something unexpected happens defensively, they kind of just die on the play and start looking at each other. It's ridiculous. Silas has got to correct that, right? Because part of defending is being relentless. Is shit happens, keep playing, recover, try to make up for it. Like when they make a mistake, they're like, oh, damn, we messed up. Let's go back down to the offensive end. It's kind of crazy to watch, but I mean, that's what you get with a team full of 19-year-olds, right? And they clearly do not know what a basket cut looks like or a back door. The Lakers were feasting on them late, and that's really what won them the game. And, you know, LeBron at the five is the only way to go. It's the only way to go with what they have going on right now because now you can play Russ. And then you just put three other shooters on the floor. You saw him posting up late, and it had me thinking, like, man, if Bron had just worked on that post game earlier in his career, it'd be a lot more effective. It was effective against the Rockets in the regular season. I don't know if they can do that in the playoffs, and I don't know. But I think that they're going to have to play Bron at the five. That's the answer, because DeAndre clearly is not. Dwight, I don't know, has just fallen out of favor. They got to do it. Warriors Nuggets, no Draymond. He's in protocol, right? And what was absolutely foolish is with no Draymond, you've got to put the ball in Steph's hands. It was flagrant. Like, what do you... So you start Juan T and think he's just going to be Draymond? I thought that was super foolish. And that's really what put the Warriors behind the eight ball from the start in last night's game. Kuminga got some good minutes. I'm going to talk about it in today's breakdown. I really liked what I saw despite the loss in, with certain things. And again, we'll go into details with it. I know a lot of people were scrutinizing that play late with Otto Porter. Again, we're going to go into the breakdown. I'll say I don't think it is what a lot of people think it was. I have a little bit of a different take. Check for that on my Patreon this afternoon. Other news, it looks like Ricky Rubio may have blown his knee out last night for Cleveland. It's terrible, man, because finally he found like what a perfect role for himself, right? The third guard, he was paired back with Kevin Love, a young team up and coming. He had a real nice role. He's an important player for this team. They had already lost Sexton, right? And so awaiting the MRI results, prayers out to Ricky Rubio. He's having really a career year on a fun team. So that's just terrible timing on that. What do we have going on tonight? Lakers, Memphis. I'm not a betting man, but if I'm betting, Memphis going to get in that ass, right? Lakers on the back end of a back-to-back. That's going to be a tough game for them. Clippers, Boston, who wants to win? Dallas, Sacramento. So nothing real marquee. Again, who's playing in these games, right? I'm going to hate watch the Lakers game. And then Memphis, I keep scouting them. We got to find the chinks in the armor. This is the Hezzy, brought to you by basketballgods.net. I'm out, y'all.